Yo, yo, yo. Yo, yo, yo. 1, 2, 1, 2. What it do, what it do. It's your boy, Skeeter Steve.
And Nikki B.
And welcome to another episode of Lace Rhymes, where we're giving it to you for the culture and by the culture. Yes, yes, yes. Back in this motherfucking one time again, you know, as you guys can see, wearing the best NFL team in the whole wide world. You don't know.
And if you don't know, now you know.
Now you know. Bang, bang, Niner game. Put that beat down on the Rams last week. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Talking about some whose house? Nah, man. It's our house. So, yeah, I'm repping. And also, too, shout out to the Lakers for that overtime dub last night. Finally, they starting to get it together.
Oh, absolutely. It's really nice to see the chemistry and everything coming together. Finally, it's been a trying season, hasn't it?
Yeah, man. Starting off the season fucking 0-5. That's ridiculous. Yeah, but hopefully we pick it up a little bit more. You know, start getting these dubs, you know what I'm saying?
Because, yeah, I mean. Yeah, definitely sooner than later, right?
Yes.
Yes, for sure. The Patriots.
Yes.
For sure. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's been one of the things that I've been seeing is that this has been one of those trying, you know, starts for us. So
terrible, man. Like, and I get it. LeBron, he's old, but he's not old, though, but. The rest of the people that we got on the squad, though, they're playing like old niggas, so but they're not really old. That's what's irking me about them.
Yeah, it if you can see, it's a real sensitive situation. So I just say, let's switch the topic. I don't even want to talk about that shit. Like, true story. It ain't even one of those things that I even want to embellish. Like, you know, like that one win, that's just like throwing fucking spitting in a pond right now to me. Like, hey, we got a lot of work to do and all of that. We'll come back and revisit this in a couple more games, but I don't even care to even go through that shit.
Oh, no, yeah. Okay, all right, though. But, we can get back on these. We can get back on these San Francisco 49ers, so, I mean,
okay.
that Christian McCaffrey. That was a good pickup.
That was definitely a nice pickup, and you know, he delivered this week. And,
oh no, yeah, absolutely. My man ran for a touchdown, threw for a touchdown, and caught a pass for a touchdown. And mind you, Deebo Samuel wasn't even in the game. So just think about that. So now you got McCaffrey, Kittle, Ayuk, and Deebo. You got four weapons. That's why I'm all like, yeah, it's about to get real ugly. It's about to get real ugly for the rest of these NFL teams. I have faith in my Niners, so you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm really looking to see the Niners versus the Eagles. I think that's going to be the game. That's pretty much going to be give us like a little taste of the, you know, I personally think that's going to be like my version of the Super Bowl.
Oh no, yeah, I'm here for it. I'm here for that though. So yeah, so I'm with all of that though. But other than that, how was your week?
My week was pretty cool. Just real chill, getting my life back on track. As I've been mentioning, it's just, you know, getting out of October and everything. We're in this first week of November, so absolutely no complaints. Everything's moving smooth. We're getting into the holiday season, just kind of trying to get my shit together because my sister and I, we have this annual gingerbread war. So, like, where we get together and we do these gingerbread houses. And I'm just the reigning champ. It's like, we're like fucking 5-6 years strong at this right now. And last year we did it. We kind of jazzed it up because, you know, previously we just get the gingerbread houses and, you know, get some extra things. And one year I did a log cabin where it looked like the logs with the pretzels and all of that kind of
jazz. Oh, damn, you went all out.
They get real jazzy. But last year we did a trap house theme.
Oh, that's
so
what's
that
up.
Shit was real, like, you know, we had the bandos and all of that kind of deal. But this year we're doing the mansion theme. So that's gonna be pretty sick because now we got castles. We don't got houses. We're doing gingerbread castles this year. So I'm getting everything in order for that. In addition to that, you know, last year I did this whole little Martha Stewart type of somewhat like on Thanksgiving and shit, like where I laid everything out and, you know, I had it looking like really like one of those food magazines and shit.
Ooh,
like,
look at you in your little bag.
So this year, you know, I'm sure I'm probably going to be doing somewhat similar again for that. So it's just once we start getting into like from Halloween on down, it gets into cruise control. you know, from like having to get the gifts for the kids, and regardless if you celebrate it or not, you can't explain that to the kids on like, you know, you just got to go on ahead and go with it. So getting all that stuff in order. But again, just blessed to be here. We did really well, you know, just throughout the week, and this weather, I'm really, like I said, I'm very happy. I love layering up. I love being able to kind of bring out those, that extra flair, those extra jackets, and get all that going. And then shit, the sneaker drops are, you know, they're just starting to flow in. So that's a whole nother topic. So shit, life is good. Life is good. And then that 21 Savage and Drake is coming out like as well. So I don't got no complaints.
Oh no, yeah, definitely ain't no complaints. Hopefully Wheelchair Jimmy redeem himself from that whack ass shit that he put out earlier this year.
Hey, you know what? It was somebody on I want to, you know, when I say these things, I really, trust me, I have every intention in my heart to credit the person that actually said it. But basically they were saying how Drake actually like dropped a trilogy on us and we didn't really know, because he went from Certified Lover Boy to Sorry Never Mind, and then went to Her Loss. So, like, if you kind of put that together, like, all together, it's like, it seems like a three-part project, you know?
Ain't nobody fucking with that shit.
If we're going to be here, we got to go on ahead and give, you know, you don't got to do shit. But I'm just saying, it would be the more appropriate thing for you to give those nods to creativity. You know,
fuck Wheelchair Jimmy. That's what I said. Y'all know how I feel about Wheelchair Jimmy. His last great album was Nothing Ever Was the Same, and I'm going to just leave it at that.
You sure can. Myself, on the other hand, I have not, you know, I don't have those type of feelings in my body. I'll go on ahead and actually give credit where credit is due, and I thought that was very clever.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Oh, yeah, before we get into this, just want to ask you, turkey. You baking a turkey or are you frying a turkey?
My mom normally does the, like, fried turkey breast, but honestly, I got into last year, I did the whole smoked turkey legs, and I don't think I'm going back to the old school way. I'd like the smoked turkey legs on having, a, you know, one for everybody that's supposed to come and all of that stuff, and then we also have a couple jazzy options out here. Last year, Big Jerk was doing the whole, what was it, the jerk turkeys? So that's pretty, that's an option, and then you got the Cajun turkeys and all these other options that you can get. So I don't have not one, you know, I'm not going to be baking a turkey, if that answers your question.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I'm going to be going around, you know, I'm going to be doing damn near everything. I'm doing lamb chops, though.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's going to be pretty jazzy.
Oh, well, I know where I'm pulling up to.
Hey,
that's a first. So, I mean, I'm not mad.
Just trying to mix it up because you know how it goes. Like, everybody has their own different things. Like, we shouldn't even be celebrating this and all this.
I ain't trying to hear all that. I'm trying to eat.
I'm just on the sense of, like, anytime I can get the family together and all of that kind of deal, like, I'm just for it. You know, the kids out of school, you know, we could get, you know, my grandma over here, all that good stuff. So, that's what I'm more so hang my hat on.
Oh, okay.
All the other things, you know?
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, nonetheless.
How about yourself? Do you do any pies or what do you bring to the table?
Man, look, I let all my mama and my sisters handle that because, like me, I can't do all that.
I can grab the rolls and the fucking soda, alcohol.
I mean, like, okay, they go, ice. But. Yeah, ice. Yeah, okay. But all that cooking and stuff, I leave that up to my mom and my sisters, and you know, fried turkey, the ham.
Okay, so that's what they do.
Yeah,
fried turkey.
Yeah,
over there. Okay.
Sweet potato pie, potato salad. You know, everybody's skeptical with everybody's potato salad. You can't eat everybody's potato salad. You know, that's a golden rule. You know what I'm saying?
But you guys be having potato salad for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, potato salad and dressing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's different for me. We be doing mashed.
Really?
We do mashed potatoes and gravy, but potato salad for, you know, I'm not knocking that shit. I love potato salad, but I've never had it on Thanksgiving. So that's interesting.
No, yeah. I have to bring you some of my mom's potato salad though.
Like, okay.
It's fire. All right. Let's get into it. A lot went down this week. I mean, a lot went down though this week though. But before we get into that, let's get into this honorable mention, starting off first with Lil Wayne throws a high school reunion party with his old classmates. Mm. Can't front. That sounds, in my opinion, that sounds pretty cool and it sounds fun. Like, you know, going around, you know, seeing people that you ain't seen in a minute and reconnecting with some familiar faces and, you know, just having a good time, though. So apparently Lil Wayne had reconnected with some familiar faces over the weekend as he hosted the McMahon High School reunion in New Orleans, Louisiana. A series of photos of the Class 2000 reunion show Weezy looking happier than ever as he reunited with some of his classmates to share a few laughs and old friends throughout the night. The Young Money icon was already famous as a high schooler as he released his debut album, The Block Is Hot, through Cash Money Records in 1999, where he was just only 17 years old. Man. And Wayne rocked a black Adidas sweatshirt and enjoyed a night of bowling at the Pulitan Alley with his signature double cup in his hand. I ain't mad at it. Like, okay. You know, maybe he was just in that mood, you know. Hey, I want to see what everybody been doing, seeing what everybody been up to. So, hey, took it upon himself, though, you know, to schedule this and just have a great time with people that he ain't seen over in a year or so. And, I mean, I ain't mad at it.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's fantastic, especially being able to be in a position to provide that and to coordinate that.
Yeah.
I think that right now we, you know, just our generation was pretty much the first class to stop that whole, you know, class reunion type of situation, because I got my mom and my aunts and my uncles and they still go to the Compton High 30 year, like actually at this point, because once they get to a certain point, they just start having them every year as opposed to doing the 35, the 45. But those, you know, when they get to those years, it gets even more special for them, but they still have their class picnics and all of that, which is pretty dope because I was speaking with somebody a couple of weeks ago and we were talking about how, like, now with families and everything, it's just not the same in the sense of growing up and actually being on the same block and going through elementary school, middle school, and high school with everybody. And I feel as though that we've also gotten very, I would say, not say privileged, but I'll say that we've gotten very comfortable with social media and everything. Yeah, and it's like, hell, I get to see whoever the hell I want to see whenever I want to see them. So why would I go do this? And then, you know, everybody getting their politics on, oh, you know, who's coming, who all there. And for the most part, there's so many damn unofficial class reunions out here. I remember Twix was throwing them like every other weekend at one point in time. So that's just how that goes. But shit, Drake did this a couple on his. I know he did. Drake did this too on that I'm Upset video where he took his Degrassi cast because that's who he went to, you know, high school with. And I thought that was really cool, especially being a watcher of Degrassi. But you know,
hey, this everybody watched Degrassi. I even did too.
Okay.
Yeah, wheelchair Jimmy.
Okay. He wasn't in a wheelchair the whole time, no.
I know, but hey.
You just like beating him down. You like punching down on Drake, and that's fine. That's fine. But Degrassi was a great show. I don't feel as though that it gets enough credit. But this isn't about Drake. This isn't about Jimmy. This is about Wayne. And I think that's fantastic that he did that.
Oh no, yeah, absolutely. Yes. So yeah, salute to Wayne though for sure. All right. Moving on into our next one before we get into the commentary for the culture. DJ Drama. This one definitely took me by surprise. DJ Drama credits Omar Epps for his success. I wouldn't be a DJ if it wasn't for him. Drama has given Omar Epps his flowers and credit the esteemed actor and producer for putting him on a path of success. Now listen, Grammys, Gangsta Grill, the parties, none of that wouldn't be possible if it was this man right here, Drama said. Still, DJ Q, to me, man, legendary. Yo, I wouldn't be a DJ if it wasn't for him. Inspiration and love. Omar Epps, if y'all don't know, for our youngins, he had played a DJ by the character of DJ Clue. And my opinion.
Who the fuck was he? DJ Clue?
No, DJ GQ.
Okay,
GQ.
That's what I'm talking about. GQ. If you go to school and we got to school.
No, my bad. Yeah, GQ and my opinion, hands down. Best movie ever.
Okay.
Juice, you know, expanded on the influence on my Epps character. So, I mean, that's pretty dope, though. And not only that, though, let's just keep it real. That movie had inspiration towards a lot of people because even though, like, we know it dealt, like, you know, with street politics, violence, gun violence, so, but also was heavy, heavy influenced by the hip hop culture and just how so alive hip hop was, like through that era of a turntablism in music and production and just everything. Like, honestly, like when people ask me, like, what's my favorite movie? That's my favorite movie, Juice. Like, I'll, like, even on my bad day, like, I'll just turn that on, like with easy. Come on, man. Like, that's the best movie. Raheem, Bishop, Steel, GQ. That's my shit. Hey, Q!
Okay. All right. Yeah. I think that's really sick that he, you know, he was in a position, because I seen the clip online and everything. And he, like, like DJ Drama said, it would be no him if it was no DJ GQ. And I feel as though that Omar Epps just does not get the. We can't thank that man enough. We really, like, just everything that he's given to the culture, and even down to seeing this interview or seeing him sit down in the shop and basically explain the whole story behind Brenda's Got a Baby and Tupac and how that just all played out in real time. He's a phenomenal man. He's aging gracefully, and I just really, you know, I can't express my admiration for him enough.
Oh, no, yeah, and even a fun fact on Juice, when they had got the script was just written for like a 70s or 80s movie, and him and Pac wasn't feeling that, though. So the director told them, just let them do what they do. So, like, the scene where they were fighting at Steel's crib in the locker room scene, he said all of that was just freestyle. Like, nothing written down, all freestyle. So, to me, that's what even just makes the movie even more phenomenal.
Yes. And so the authenticity, because like you said, when they got the scripts, it was so outdated.
So very, very outdated,
that's,
man.
That's really something. And the fact that a lot of it was improv, you know, so that's dope.
Oh, no, so, man, shout out to Omar S, man. Like, definitely here, man. You definitely appreciate it. And just by the influence and the impact that you had on so many people and just on hip-hop culture, so you're appreciated. All right. Moving on, let's get into it. Commentary for the culture, man. It's unfortunate. Have to go into this, though, but it wouldn't be right if we did or if we didn't, man. RIP to Takeoff. Takeoff. Ooh. It was got hit by a stray bullet, you know, a couple of days ago when he was in Houston. Stray bullet hit the torso. And his head were to the point where, you know, they tried to revive him and they couldn't. And, you know, he ended up transitioning on to the next life, man. And it was just, this is just unfortunate. And this just happening because from what everybody that was just speaking upon him and just everybody that was just saying, he was just a cool, calm, collective dude. Didn't get into no trouble with nobody, stay out the mix. And not only that, though, too, another thing that I can appreciate about him, like when I say this man loves music, he loves music. We're to the point where seeing clips of him just doing stuff on the turntables. And even when they were on the late night show, I keep forgetting that dude's name. When they were in the car and every song the dude was playing in the car, he knew exactly word from word from word. So when it came to this music, not only hip hop, but outside of hip hop and different genres, he was that guy. He knew it. Like, we're to the point where he was rapping, but also, too, singing word from word to Whitney Houston. So, I mean, like, that's dope to see. And then just not only that, we was just praising them like a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, about, you know, two episodes ago.
Yeah.
Basically, we were going off of the Unconfused and the Only Built for Infinite.
Infinity Links.
And, we were just really commending Takeoff on the fact that we were really grateful in the sense that we were able to get more of him just simply because of the sound between the three of them and everything. It's difficult, like I was saying, in the timeshare. To say that this is tragic, just to say that this is horrible is an understatement. I definitely feel like it's a really tremendous loss, not only to what he was able to contribute and the light he was able to bring, but again, I love the fact that a lot of the commentary, you know, the actual, those that are reporting this story with integrity is just really acknowledging the fact that he was more than just a musician.
Yeah.
He was a son. He was an uncle. He was a brother. He was a nephew. And, you know, and a father. And I just think that that's just really, like, that just is a nod. And the fact that he, like you said, everyone that that came in contact with him all report the same sentiments of him being just very cool, nonchalant, and laid back. That was really one of the things that I admired most about him, right, seeing him in the interviews, is that he just was always the one that was just the calmest, and he wasn't, you know, fast to react.
Right.
And even in a situation with the whole, he got left off of Bad and Bougie, right, type of situation, it just was just, again, the whole, his demeanor. So I feel as though that this is a tremendous loss to the culture, and sending love and light to his family, for sure.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. And don't get me wrong, like, you know, another thing, too, that I could say, like, we heard ad-libs in the early and the mid-2000s throughout hip-hop and rap, though, but I could say this. Migos really made the ad-libs super popular. Like, every time when you hear them, the ad-libs were coming. It was just phenomenal. Like, I appreciate them.
That's,
man,
what ushered in a whole different sound.
Yeah.
And even down to, like, their Breakfast Club interview on how Takeoff was there and just doing the whole ad-lib the whole time. And I just, they're dynamic, regardless if, with the exit of Offset from the group and just him and Quavo doing the whole duo, I understand that this is just, I couldn't imagine it, and again, I'm just sending love and light to them all.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely, absolutely, man. So, you know, rest in power, Takeoff, man. You know, you gone, but you won't never be forgotten, bro.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And we're really grateful. Did you get it? Because it was just so, like I said, the moment that I got that news, I had really, like, I felt it in my, like, initially, I'm like, going down TikTok, I'm like, man, these kids need to stop with
their
stories.
Right, right.
But then when I seen it on Instagram and I seen that, I want to say Complex had reported it, that's when I was like, oh, my God, this is horrible. Because I was just actually watching the Messy video earlier in the day. And my brother and I and, you know, my son, we were all just sitting there watching it, and we were really excited. We're like, oh, man, they really doing it. They're really,
It's unfortunate, though. But like what we said, man, here at Lace Rounds, we're sending love and life and peace and positivity towards the family, man. So, you know, salute to Takeoff, for sure. All right, next up. Westside Gunn addresses Conway's The Machine Griselda contract complaint. Westside Gunn has addressed that Conway Machine gripes about the previous Griselda contract, clarifying there is no friction between the Buffalo and New York family. Keep on telling y'all. I was trying to say they're not from New York. They are from New York. Thank you. Conway made headlines earlier this year where he admitted that he never read his Griselda contract, which wasn't designed in his favor, and subsequently made him no money. Westside Gunn made sure those financial issues are in the past and they will continue to stack paper together in the future. That's my brother, the Hitler Wears Hermes 10 rapper said. The fool's son is my nephew. If you ask that man now, I owe him a penny. That shit got twisted and screwed up. They tried to blow it out of proportion, like I robbed my brother. And what he was saying, that he was never read the contract, which he didn't. That's my brother. But hey, can't ever say I cheated on him. Westside Gunn went on to say that family members may butt heads, but Griselda bond is forever, no matter what the contract situation looked like. People got to stay out of family business, he continued. Family sometimes had disagreement. The negative narrative, that's what people love, and that's what they want. And I'm mad at it. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's speaking from a place of truth, because, I mean, like, we all have family members, and, of course, like, within our family, you're going to butt heads with your family members. Not everything is going to be peaches and cream, because if that was the case, I'm going to question that. Be like, hey, like, you good? Like, like, something's up. Are you not telling me something, or something ain't right, though? So for him to put it out there and just to let them know there's no friction amongst them, that is good. And just going back, like, what he said, like, every family member, like, whatever, like, you're doing a group, this and that, you're going to have the friction. The friction is always going to come with the territory. Hell, it comes with the territory when you're in a relationship with somebody or even marriage. It comes with the territory. So like, but how you resolve it, that's a different story. And I felt like with him putting it out there and saying what he said, he resolved it very well. So I mean, I salute that.
Definitely, because we have so many times where the situation gets blown out of proportion and more people uh-huh. like, for instance, we just reported on Jeezy and Freddie Gibbs on the fact yep. of how long it took them to mend their relationship mm-hmm. and how many things like can just actually be solved with a simple conversation.
Yeah.
So like, I really commend West Side Gunn on taking that. And I was so excited to hear Conway on that new West Side Gunn on the Hitler Wear Hermes 10.
Yeah.
So that was really sick. And man, I promised to infinity and beyond, because it's like that we see so many times where people are having those type of relationships mm-hmm. where it's a disconnection with the finances, and you see the one person and he's shining with all the jewels and all of that, and then the other one is like, I'm not getting paid.
Right.
And you know, he could have easily glossed over the situation. It's the contract you didn't sign. You didn't read it before you signed. This is what it is. You know, tough fucking, tough
right,
luck, nigga.
Right.
But ultimately, he went on ahead and made it right. So that mm-hmm. just really speaks to their character over there and the fact that it's being ran more as a family as opposed to a trap house or, you know, just a, you know, smash and grab type
right,
of situation.
Right, right.
So I think that a lot of, people in that position can definitely take a page out of his book
mm-hmm.
and, just kind of work more on that.
Oh, no. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, they get all my salutes and praise for that one. And not only that, though, just love the way how they handle the situation. All right. Last but not least, before we get into our out-of-pocket, MF Doom apparel. Released on the anniversary of his death.
Yeah.
MF Doom Estate has unveiled some fresh new apparel to honor the legacy of the late MC on the 1 year anniversary of his death. The new line apparel crews some 5 double color polos, as well as a few caps, hoodies, t-shirts, sticker packs, and more. The price of the new apparel ranges from $15 to $135. One of the and Fonte. You know, and that was so crazy. You just did a review
brother,
on them
yeah,
on Little
yeah.
Brother last week. Fonte had said, one of the greatest comeback second act stories of hip-hop history. RIP to the villain MF Doom. And you know what? Honestly, when it comes to, like, greatest comeback stories, I would have to rank him up there and Joe, because I feel like those two, like, when it comes to hip-hop history, they literally have the best. And I'm a school y'all a little bit. Before MF Doom, before the mask and everything, mid-80s, going into the early 90s, he was a part of this group called KMD. KMD was like a super, super dope group, and had like hits after hits after hits, where to the point where his original name was Zeb Love Ski. And even with that... you can see him in early photos. You'll have to Google it. Where to the point he's in photos with Eazy-E, Dr. Dre, and like everything. So when I say MF Doom been around for a minute, he's been around for a minute. And then, you know, when it's the passing of his brother, it caused him to, like, you know, step back for a little bit. And then the label dropping him, he wasn't really passionate about it, though. But, you know, he found that spark again. And then, you know, what better way to take a flip on a beloved comic from Marvel, from a villain that everybody loved, Dr. Doom, and flipped it and call him MF Doom. So, I mean, like, that is just dope. And then just the phenomenal run that he had and the influence that he had on everybody, where to the point where when Tyler, the Creator, met him, he fanned out. Like, he really mm-hmm. bugged out. Like, yo, like that's, like, one of his, like, you know, influence and inspiration. So, to see that the estate is doing right by him and putting out gear and everything, man, like, I commend that. Definitely commend that.
Yeah, and like you said, MF Doom and the whole Stone's Throw squad, you know, over there, the whole Stone's Throw mm-hmm. family
mm-hmm.
is just, you know, it's unmatched. It's definitely, you just really have to be there, but you didn't necessarily have to be there thanks to Apple Music, because
yep.
you can always go ahead and tap into those timeless hits. And I just remember food, like, and just the feeling that I heard, you know, that I got from hearing Rhinestone Cowboy and, you know,
ooh.
Like...
Man, that's fire.
For sure, for sure.
Fire.
Yeah, so, you know, MF Doom, his legacy lives on, and I love the fact that, like you said, that it's coming directly from his estate, because mm-hmm. I was looking at something with Bun B earlier where he was just explaining how, you know, people approach him and, hey, man, I got a shirt of Chad for you to wear, you know. And he's like, you know, nigga, if I wanted a shirt of Chad, I'll go get it made. But, you know, people capping on other people's estates mm-hmm. and just trying to use it for their own self gain and everything, and put all these people on these shirts and everything. We got to kind of put more of an end to that. So right. It's really refreshing to hear that it is coming directly from his family, and the proceeds will be going back into his family. Another family that is really good at, you know, handling business like that is the Dilla, you know,
Mama Dilla. Yes, Dilla.
Ella J over there, yes. And everybody that's taking care of the Dilla estate as well, because it's just, you know, I see so much of the capital, you know, the people capping on the dead. Like, mm-hmm. I seen a post a couple of weeks ago, and they're like, whoever the hell is printing up all of these Poetic Justice, Boys in the Hood, and Aaliyah and Selena shirts, you know, going in and kind of give it a rest. Like, right. You know, they right. OD'ing on these right. motherfuckers over there at Raw. Nah, so real. It's really sick. And I like the integrity. I've seen some of the rugbies that's coming along with the collection and everything. And I'm always for the merch. That's really where it is. Mm-hmm. If we over here rocking the Led Zeppelin and the motherfucking Rolling Stones and, right. and all those shirts. And, you know, hey, you may very well be a fan of Nirvana. I'm not taking anything away from anybody. But, you know, if we could support those, we definitely could support the ones that we really put in rotation. I think that's phenomenal. And, you know, I hope that everybody goes on ahead and grabs something, even if it's just a sticker pack.
Oh, no. Yeah, absolutely. All right. It's about that time. Out of. Fuck it.
Take it off. Man. And that sound coming soon, too.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Out of pocket.
Well, you know, this week's installment of, you know, Out of Pocket, we actually got two things that, yes. you know, to address. First things first, with Taco Bell. Like, you know, like, one of my things with them, and I, you know, I know this is a little bit lighter compared to the other, you know, things we've addressed in this segment, mm-hmm. is the fact of the fucking nacho fries. Like, why is it that the nacho fries are actually like a seasonal, or we get them like quarterly and everything? It's like, if you got a good thing, you guys should try to work with it. And one of the things with Taco Bell is like, if it's not broken, why try to fix it? Like, what they did with that Mexican pizza was fucking trash. Like, whoever asked you guys to get rid of the Mexican pizza, you guys are taking away, like, the one thing that's actually working for you guys.
Right.
So, I think it's a little counterproductive. And, you know, I saw that the nacho fries was back. So, I definitely, you know, I went on ahead and fucked with them. But at the same time, like I said, like, it's annoying because it's like, shit, you know, you got to really be tapped in. I don't really mess with Taco Bell. Like, the Doritos Locos Tacos, they do kind of go a little bit. And,
yeah, it's not
you know,
bad.
You can,
yeah,
you can, you, you know, hey, I'll stand on those. Like, those motherfuckers, the Supreme ones are real, you know, privé. Depending on how much in a rush you are, if you just need to go in there to grab something real quick. But as far as those nacho fries and shit, like the fact that they keep on coming and going and coming and going and everything, they just make those motherfuckers a permanent item. Like, I don't mind. I'll go ahead and grab it. The seasoning is amazing. You know, the cheese, and this isn't, you know, free commercial either. I'm just saying that they need to go ahead and make those motherfuckers a permanent menu item. So that's my gripe, you know, with, you know, hey, whoever's in those boardrooms, we didn't ask you guys for breakfast. We didn't ask you guys to take away the Mexican pizza.
Right.
Well, all we're asking right now is just make the nacho fries a permanent item.
No, yeah, for sure. No, it's definitely. Very simple. No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Taco Bell not bad though, but I mean, hey, I'm Team Del Taco over here. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. But I'm with you though. I'm with you on that. Like, I'm tired of them bringing it back, taking it off, bringing it back, mm-hmm. taking it off. It made me feel like it's goddamn jump rope. Like, man, you gonna jump in or you gonna stay out?
What's
like,
your Del Taco over Taco Bell? What's your thing over there at the Del Taco? You get the burger or some shit, or like tacos is better than Taco Bell to you?
Yeah, my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
You know, this is the good thing about Steve and I. You know, like, we really have like that balance in the whole yin and yang type of situation, mm-hmm. like on everything. And it's like sometimes it makes me even wonder. It's like, nigga, do you really believe it? Are you just trying to counter what I'm fucking?
No, I'm not trying.
And that's the thing. I know you're not. So it's like, okay, so I just, you know, that's just what it is. But it's like, it's the great blend, because there's other people out there in the world that thinks that Del Taco is better than Taco Bell. And this don't got to be like one of those things. We don't got to turn it into like a poll or nothing like that.
No.
I'm just saying, like, in a sense, though, it's that's, I'm just like really commending the amount of representation that exists here on this pod.
Thank you, though, because the only reason why I said Del Taco, because let's not forget, without Del Taco, none of you motherfuckers wouldn't be 24 hours. Del Taco set that trend for everybody to be 24 hours. And I get that,
but COVID kind of skimmed everybody back. COVID. No more 24-hour, you know, jack-in-the-box, all that shit. Where is that at now?
Man.
But, you know, ultimately, like, at the end of the day, you know, I'm not even trying to track, like, you know, these are, of course, we're talking about cheat days. We don't eat this shit every day.
Right.
Like that. You know.
I would be sick to my stomach if I did.
Literally, you know, in that situation. Like, you know, no. Like, this is every once in a blue moon. But I noticed the nacho fries was back. So I was like, hey, let's go ahead and address that. But moving on to our second issue here. As we mentioned earlier, you know, with Takeoff passing away, is definitely a tremendous loss to the hip hop culture. And like I said, that's just definitely an understatement in a sense of that. But we had a whole lot of different, you know, people coming out and, you know, sending their condolences. But one in particularly just really just was like, nigga, please. It was motherfucking Designer.
That was funny. I'm sorry.
That was funny. I posted that shit.
I'm sorry.
I posted that shit on my story 2 times.
I don't
want to
rap again. I don't want to rap.
Hold on.
Why do we do this?
And the thing that got me was, you know, it was a young nigga that was like, that nigga Designer just blew me, talking about he done rapping again. Nigga, you been done. Like, it was the last. It's like, nigga, my life depended. If my life depended on it, I could not give you my fucking 3 Designer songs. I swear. I would have to give you Panda 1, Panda 2, the remix that Donda Sun did, and then I would have to give you that what is it, Timmy Turner?
Yeah, Timmy Turner.
Yeah, that ain't it. But anywho, like, this is the thing. This is my situation with this. It's like, yeah, you know, we all take things, because the game did something similar where he was crying and shit on the camera when Nip passed. And I can definitely understand, like, in the sense of, you know, us artists, you have different relationships with these people than we do from even, you know, the side. And, you know, hell, we all, I'm positive that, you know, the way it hits you is different emotions come out. But I'm really firm on this type of belief. And, you know, I just stand on it. If you can record yourself crying, ain't shit wrong with you. And the fact that this nigga was running through the house like snot, you know, running down there on his face and talking about this version of me is dead and I'm done and all that shit. It's like, bro, you fucking, it's real extra right now. Uh-huh. And then that whole, why do we do this? We didn't do shit, nigga. I was in my bed. I was not there. So, like, another thing that I, like, want to just kind of briefly, like, just acknowledge is the fact that when something like that happens, you know, that, like, what we were talking about slightly last week is that, you know, like, the sense that I feel as though that collectively we're divided on things that we need to be united on, and we're united on things we need to be divided on. And in this sense, allowing one person to speak for all of us is just, we got to kind of knock that shit off collectively. If you're not doing it, then I'm not talking to you. But in the sense of just every time something happens, it's like we're taking ownership for the sense that this person was a real fucked up ass individual, or this person did this, or that person did that. Right. It's like nobody else speaks for their entire community. Nobody else speaks for it. Whenever somebody else does something, it's like, oh, they were having an off day. Oh, you know, this and that, or whatever the case may be. Rightfully so. It's an individual that went out and fucking did, you know, that couldn't balance his emotions that day, or whatever the case may be. And that's what it deserves to be classified as. But what I see so frequently within our community is the fact that when this happens, it's like we clawed, we turn into fucking we all the time. And it's like, no, like, let's go on ahead and acknowledge that as an individual that, you know, had a really fucked up day, or does not know how to express their emotions. Mm-hmm. And let's go on ahead and work on that collectively. But to just go on ahead and start just grouping everybody into these situations and why do we do this? Nigga, we don't do shit.
Oh, that's bad, man. Like, you took all the words out of my mouth.
I'm so,
like,
sincere about that.
Like, I don't need to say nothing. So, man, y'all heard Nikki B. She said what she said. Said what she said. And that's how we're going to leave it at that, though. But, all right, let's get into it. Can I kick it? Man. Whew. I'm happy about this. About this first one we're about to talk about.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very, very happy about this. Air Max 97s, the Silver Bullets. We talked about these previous before, mm-hmm. but they didn't have no release date. But now they have a release date on them, and they are dropping November 11th. Now, for me, I'm excited for this drop, and hopefully people will sleep on them. But I figure that might not be the case because, I mean, this is an OG shoe because... The last time we saw this sneaker, in my opinion, yeah. Matter of fact, yeah, I was there when I went to go grab it. It was 2017, the same day as the Yeezy 700s had dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in line at Undefeated. Shout out to the OG member that was on this show, Chris. We was both there. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
What'd you guys cop?
We both ended up getting the Air Max 97s.
That's what I'm
like,
talking about. Yeah.
Like everybody was in line for the Yeezy 700s, but those dropped the same day, and I'm just all like, oh, y'all don't care about the 97s? All right, we get up to the front. It's like, hey, how many size? What all sizes you got? Oh man, we got a full size run on the 97. All right, say less. Give me that size 9, man. I was in and I was out though, but. This shoe is just one of those shoes that I feel, in my opinion, if you're a sneakerhead, you have to have this in your collection.
Oh,
either or.
Yeah.
You can either go with the Silver Bullets or with the 97 Golds. Like, either or, you got to have one in your collection. Because
if not both. The Silver Bullets, like you said, they're back so soon, and I'm grateful for it because the Air Max 97s has this weird type of reaction where you get that fog at the bottom,
mm-hmm.
where you know you kind of gets that. So I just feel like you can never have too many pairs of these. They're very universal, especially comfortable shoe and super iconic. You know, like you said, the 2017 definitely copped a pair then. Plan on getting another pair next week. And one is going to be super symbolic to me, just simply because we're going to be getting these the same day as the Wakanda Forever.
Yeah.
And that's going to I'm real, you know, sentimental in situations like that. So that's what they're going to give me. These are going to be my Silver Surfers, you know.
That's what they should call them now, the Silver Surfer 97.
That's what they're going to be. That's what they're going to be for me.
I like that.
So, but yeah, these right here, just really, really excited to have them coming back. And it's just one of those shoes. Like, I like the fact that they do, you know, limit them. But then at the same time, I wouldn't be upset if these were, like, one of those shoes that was just, you know, they release year-round just simply mm-hmm. because of how iconic it is. If we could do that with the white-on-whites, I figure we can go on ahead and do that with, you know, some of the shoes. But I understand the reason why they don't do that, especially with the Air Max 1s and, you know, all of that. So I'm really excited to see those come back and... Yeah, man. Are you gonna get you another pair? Or are you gonna kind of hold off? Cause 2017 isn't that far off. Like that, everything else should still pretty much be brand new.
Mine's still in good condition though. But when the time is right though, I definitely want to re up on those. So yeah, that's definitely a cop for me. All right. Moving on. Packer shoes, Saucony Jazz 81s.
Those are nasty. These are really nice. I like the fact of are both of them they're a two pack or
it's different colors though, but that's what they're calling it. They're calling mm-hmm. it the Packers, you know, the Packers. And you know, both of the colors, you know, come with that cream tone. One comes with a now then New Jersey base boutique outfit, which reminds you of the 80s straightforwards and symbols of both heritage and driven modern, and that off-white midsole of the age modern of the midsole that's injected in both of the tongues too,
mm-hmm.
as well. And not only that, though, too, another highly shoe that's been around, Coney Jazz 81, and it's celebrating its 40th anniversary, which is pretty dope at that. And the shoe is going to be releasing on PackersShoes.com this coming Friday, November 11th. Okay. Same day.
Black Panther Friday.
For $110 for each pair. And, I'm like you. Both pairs is just...
Yeah, they are. They're up there and shit. Saucony's is up in the atom. I remember those daddies was like $60.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, okay, everything, inflation. Right. But yeah, I like both pairs. I think that you really can't go wrong. I like the forest green with the Bordeaux and like that midnight navy blue on the heel. And then I also like that tan and taupe with that hint of gray as well.
And that mocha on that back.
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely.
And you know what though? I'm gonna just say this because I have two pairs. I did have more than one pairs of Sauconys in my collection though, but I sold like two of them though. But Sauconys don't get enough.
Oh, absolutely. That's deserve. Why I was really grateful and that you put them on here this week.
And not only that though too. When we talk about comfortability, we always go to New Balances. So, but honestly,
you always go to New Balances.
Hey. Hey,
I'm just fucking with you.
Hey,
I'm just fucking with you.
I know, but you do.
No, like, yeah. Because, you know, Asics do them too. You know,
yeah,
but
I live
no,
for
but
the
these are fucking, these are really, really yeah. comfortable. And you can't sleep on the classic Reeboks either.
Absolutely. But even just when you're looking at the lineage of New Balance, the Saucony Jazz, those, the 81s, the Saucony Shadows, the Saucony 5000s, the Saucony 6000s, like, all of those shoes has been comfortable and literally like with every single pair that I named, you could literally wear those all day if you wanted to. And not only that though, what I love about this shoe, it got swag on it. Got fucking swag.
Whoever's
on it
over there, because you know with Saucony's, a little goes a long way.
Yes,
and because at one point in time, let's just be real. Like when Saucony's had first came on back, like we had more of like the, like you said, the Saucony Jazz and the Steppers. Then I started seeing niggas putting fat laces in those motherfuckers. And it's like, okay, it's a wrap now. They're over. Hit that Price Is Right.
Right. You know?
Yeah. So it's a wrap on those daddies now. But with these, of course, and I like the fact that they have more of the nylon that complements the suede. Mm-hmm. Because what we were talking about with the, even when down to the Nike Cortezes.
Yeah.
Is that the nylons actually hit way better than the leathers. They're way more comfortable. Man. I feel like they form to your feet more.
Yes,
and, you know,
yes.
Shout out to another OG host. I'm sure that Ryan can attest with that as well.
Oh, yes,
He's very avid about the nylon. So I'm really happy that they went in that direction rather than the leather because it's just not as giving when it comes down to, like, durability and the give on your feet. You know, it's not as comfortable. So this looks like a great shoe. Of course, once you guys see the visuals, you guys will know exactly what we're talking about.
Right, exactly.
But moving on to like last but certainly not least, because honestly it's gonna be decisions on November 11th, and I love the fact that we got the release dates for you guys, but we got the crazy one. Great
man.
Job, honey. Give yourself a cheer. All right, that's what I'm talking about. Absolutely, all of them.
Yeah.
Yes. Really, really proud of you, my guy. Because I swear, all of these are coming out, and because it's real easy for us to forget about what the hell's coming and going, especially in this season, because they want all of our money.
Right.
And I know that it was a whole lot of like things with Adidas and all that, but they like, oh no, we still got a couple of tricks up our sleeves.
Right.
So, with this one right now, we got the Adidas Crazy One, the Laker Homes. They're going to be returning on November 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And then for you guys that are unfamiliar, this is actually going to be the Kobe Crazy Ones. Again, the Laker home, where we're going to have the mesh tongue and pretty much white Laker accents, purple and gold. I personally think that these are a great pair of shoes to add to your collection if you don't already have them. I know that with Kobe, sometimes with people, they're a hit and miss.
Oh yeah.
But I wouldn't be upset. For all my Laker fans, if you're looking for something to kind of mesh with your Laker wear, especially as we move into a more victorious season, I believe these are going to be a great cop, especially in the sense that this isn't something that we're seeing every day.
Oh, no, yeah.
But also remember that they crease like fucking crazy.
Yeah, yeah, they do. They definitely do. That's the downfall.
I don't think that they fixed that, but we got the 140 price tag. You know, let us know which one you're copping this week, and we'll have it up.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely. Before we go into Check the Rhyme,
yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's about that time. We're going to do an unboxing for you, though, but tonight's unboxing
yes.
is special.
Mm.
It's one of a kind. You see the box. You see the box. So let's get to it. Oh, what is that? Sandy Bros? So you know what that means. You know what I'm saying? We have in our hands the Jordan 1.
Yes.
Lost and found. Now, I'm not going to tell you where or who got it or did this, though, but we got one on deck for y'all. Don't this just look amazing?
Yes. The details. Go on ahead and get into the details. Man. Get into the details.
We're going to start.
You going to start up here? You going to start down here?
Let's start down here. Let's start with the bottom of the shoe.
Yes.
I'm loving the age on the vintage on here where, you know, with the accent on the red, but they got that little ash white on there.
Yes, they do.
I'm loving
that chalky.
Yes. I'm loving it. And then let's move into the front of the shoe. You can see the crackling on the toe tag on the front of the shoe. That is just amazing. And then when you get to the tongue, we got that vintage cream color on the tongue, man. Like,
perfect.
That's perfect. Like amazing. And then when you move on to the side, we see the crackling of the tumble leather on the side, though, but also, too, has that vintage behind it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the Air Jordan symbol. You know what I'm saying? You can't complain about that. And then on the back, on the heel, you see the back crackling of the leather of the heel. Then, of course, you know, coming with the lace colorways with either with the white or the black. Mm-hmm. Personally, I would go with the white. You know what I'm saying? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, we with the ones, most of us, we leave the black laces in, though. But, like, with this, it's just amazing, man. I see why now motherfuckers is backdooring these. I get it now.
No, those look sensational. Those look sensational. Like you said, all the details. And honestly, like, I know, people are kind of, well, maybe have a toss-up, but I think these are better than the trophy rooms.
I'm with you on that. Way better than the trophy rooms, though. But it's just for...
And they're going to age gracefully.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, the last time we seen this colorway was 2015. Yes. And the year prior before 2015, we saw them in the Lowe's in the 2014. And I'm still kind of mad about myself that I didn't pick those up because I'm a huge fan of Lowe's now.
And shit, prior to that was, what, 2003 with those mids?
Yes.
With the patent leathers? You know what? I wouldn't even be upset if he bought those back. If they bought them back in the patent leathers, I wouldn't be upset. Like,
and honestly, that's one shoe I really want them to bring back. Because even though they brought back the highs with the black and gold, but those didn't hit the same way.
No, those didn't.
They hit the same way those 2003s hit, man.
No, not at all. Not at all. And I see that they're available, but it's like, you know, in some cases, but it's kind of sketchy on getting it because you don't know how someone stored the shoe and all of that kind of deal. But I just never forget seeing Khalees in the milkshake video with the Carolina patent leather and white ones.
Yes, like,
those motherfuckers,
man,
was so clean.
Yeah, man. I was so jealous because, I mean, my best friend, shout out to my best friend, Adrian. He had the Carolinas. And shout out to my other best friend, Drew. He had the black and golds. And then if you're from Vegas, you know, the youth organization from 2000 to 2006 was very big. Mm-hmm. The whole M5Ts had on the camos.
And the Divas.
And the Divas had on all of that and the black and gold patented leather ones. I'm like, how these many people got this shoe? But that shoe I'm with you. I'm in a
Back in those days, it was just more or less like the fact of being able to even come up with the $100, you know, to buy them. Like now, it's like we got to worry about like damn near begging somebody to take our money and buy the shoes at retail. But I will go on ahead and say it, you know, if we sit here and we complain, or not even say complain, it's not complaining, it's explaining. But basically, we got to go on ahead and give credit where credit is due. And I am seeing some progress from what I'm hearing, because I don't have the app on my phone. But the sneakers app has been actually better since Nike has implemented those changes. So,
oh, no, yeah, absolutely. Sick ass, that's good. Sick ass, that's good.
Unboxing. And, man, your kick pick is just real dynamic, man.
Oh, no, man. Thank you. And, you know, that's like we had some... We had some dope drops this year, mm-hmm. you know, from you know, the Travis Scott's, and even like at first I wasn't a fan though, but now I'm a fan of the taxi ones, the yellow toes.
Especially with the cell laces on those. Those are really sick.
Yes, yes. The starfish
lows and highs.
I mean, mm-hmm. we had some great drops this year. I can't front.
And these lost and founds are going to be good. And I was just telling you earlier that the cherries, I'm not really all that I'm not that upset with them. I might go on ahead and cop. I am going to end up copping just because, you know, I don't have a pair of the cherry lows on deck, and that doesn't mm-hmm. seem like that's going to happen anytime soon.
Right.
And I liked how they looked on G Perico's feet, you know, earlier when I seen him on Instagram, the way that he had blanketed his pants over it, which, you know, he was doing a whole stack jean shit or whatever the case may be.
Right.
But they still look really, really clean, and I think that those are going to be a really good one. But we've been getting some really fire ass SBs this year too.
Oh no, so yeah, absolutely.
Nike, you know what you guys are doing over there, just keep on doing it and shit, keep on making these motherfuckers available to us, because I don't got no complaints right now.
For real. Well, yeah, that concludes our segment of you know, can I kick it? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, the visuals is going to be up. You're going to see everything, what we're talking about, and also, too, with the unboxing of the Jordan 1 Lost and Found. All right, it's about that time. Let's get into it with Check the ROM. And first up the bat, Clan Way 3 by Blue Bucks Clan.
Right, say that shit fast 3 times.
Blue Bucks, no, I ain't doing that.
I'm telling you, it's really difficult. It's not that easy.
A BBC.
Right, Blue Bucks Clan, yeah, you know, BBC. But nah, man, this album right here, because, you know, they, like you said, they had Clan Way 1 and 2, mm-hmm. but this one was more or less, like, one of their first, like, studio albums, like, okay. where you can tell that they really pulled out the production on this. And if you're familiar with Blue Bucks Clan, you know that they're going to be coming with all the fucking shit talking. They're going to have all the witty punchlines. And it's just, I'm not going to say that they're not just rapping, but you can tell that they love what they're doing. It's just two people just going back and forth and like talking their shit back and forth to each other. And I really adore their chemistry. They're one of my favorite groups right now. You know, from these last few years, I love their music.
I got a confession.
What's that?
I got a confession. I like how you added this on here, because this is my first time being familiar with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like it. Hell yeah.
You know, you hear it, like, especially you got the California and the West Coast influence, and you can just really hear how, you know, how much they go back and forth. And, you mm-hmm. know, everybody does it for somebody. Everybody right. does it for a certain group, and everybody deserves representation. So I really adored that. I like the Jeezy Where You At, and, you know, just like that one was really one of my favorites. The Pretty Much, of course, the Big Stepper, and then they even had Jeremiah on here, which, you know, Jeremiah's still kind of going through his own little thing. Like, that wouldn't necessarily clear the room like for me, but I really adore these guys. I think that they, like I said, I feel like they deserve, you know, more attention. They're one of my favorite groups coming out, you know, groups out the West right now. I put them in like somewhat the same caliber as Kalan for real, and mm-hmm. Even G Perico. And,
yeah,
you know, I just got them all on this list, and I just kind of shuffle and go, but they hit it for me. They really do that for me, and they, you know, even in the sense of just kind of mixing it up from the West Coast to even getting maybe even some of that Flint music in there too.
Yeah,
they'll be pretty smooth on a playlist. But yeah, man, what was one of your favorite songs on here?
I actually had a few.
Okay.
I liked it, the opener, Flies on My Generation. I Can't Believe It. Add It Up. Mm-hmm. Biggest Stepper. And no, fuck, let's go to that Jeezy Where You Was At. Like, I definitely enjoyed this.
Yeah, all these bitches ready and gotta tell them shit. I swear these things is funny as fuck to me.
It's the one I want to grab. Would you look at this? When I with my bitch and all her fam, we finna eat real quick. Why the fuck you just saying something? Can't believe this. But if you really got 6 hours, I'm finna leave this. My life, I do. Hurry up, they sent me everywhere to want me to. Yeah, that thick bitch here, the one that wanted to. Taking shots, throwing ass, I got them settled in and comfortable. I walked in, she like, they go Jeezy, they like, bitch, where?
Man, I'm telling you, like, where my drink at? He's like, I don't touch another man's cup. He's like, yeah, you do, you just had it. So it's like, it's funny as fuck, right. You know, like, honestly, like, if you guys aren't familiar with Blue Bloods Clan, just definitely go on ahead and give my guys a listen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm really happy with that one.
No, yeah, definitely, check that out, like, for real. You won't be disappointed. All right, next up, West Side Gun. Hitler Wears Hermes 10. Man.
You know what? He just, you know, and I with all the controversy and everything going on, my guy just said 10.
Right. He did. He said, fuck all that. Fuck all the Hitler. 10. Fuck all that.
A motherfucking 10.
A 10. Y'all don't know what that song.
Fucking Billy Bob.
Yeah, Billy Bob.
Varsity Blues.
So another. Classic. Man, will you go to the prom with me?
He had her, man. The teacher, right. The stripper. Oh, man. Hey, man. Hey, what a time.
Right. Nah, but 10, 12 tracks, 49 minutes long. I can't front. I enjoyed this beginning to end. Like, for real, from the start. The super kick party, shootouts in Soho, which is my favorite.
Okay.
And then right after that, Pepper was fire though too. So I go back and forth between those, like,
okay,
like heavy. Nigo Lewis, BDP. And if y'all don't know who BDP is, I suggest you do your hip hop history on that. You know what I'm saying? God Is Love. That was a dope one. Switches on Everything was dope. Mac Don't Stop, Red Death. I mean, this project was solid.
Oh, it was. And it was, you know, one thing that solid. Really stood out to me, aside from just like the amazing curation, mm-hmm. was my guy Stove God Cooks. Can we go on ahead and just kind of like elaborate a little bit on him, on just how he showed up on this project showed out?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Oh my God. My nigga said, I told my plug that I need my bricks Tia Landry. They need to be identical. Like, oh my, like those types. Come on now. Man. Like, and then, like you said, like, it was just really good to just, we got Raekwon and Ghostface on here with Busta Rhymes. As Steve just said, we had A$AP Rocky, but we also had A$AP Rocky
chopped.
Yes, he did. But you know, again, with the aspect of A$AP Rocky, I'm not minimizing the A$AP Rocky appearance, but the fact that we were able to bring out some of these veterans we got Black Star. When was the last time that we heard Black Star on a track together?
Man, it's been a minute.
So we got them together. Then we had Run the Jewels on here. You know, aside from everything else that's going on with the politics and everything, that ain't none of our business. But Run the Jewels, and like I said, a lot of Stove God Cooks. You know, on the project, but basically even down to the Red Death, one of the things about that one was the song was so flawless. I don't understand why a certain person was on that song, but it just was, he was there. And you know, you guys listen to it, and if you guys could, you know, connect the dots. But aside from that, everything else just was so smooth. Amari Caesar came through, mm-hmm. and you know, she was phenomenal. Benny the Butcher, you know, like, just really saving the best for last. And I enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed every fucking song.
Yeah, me too. Hey, like, yo. No, yeah, especially this.
Core capability, fly facility, fly guy, do or die, best style, energy, simplify, B-E-Y. These hoes hilarious, with cardiac serious, Cartier tanked up, blow the central bank up, tall where you bank truck, nah, baby, it ain't luck. Days without a wave, we prayed and we made one. City God grace us with flavors and fountains, X amount of mountains, X amount is countless. The wizard is a fraud, what you afraid for? Saw a lot of thunder, no rainfall.
Man, hey man, his production, conductor, who else was on here, man? Because all I know, Conductor, like, he was doing like the majority of these beats. Mm-hmm. Oh damn,
super soulful.
Yeah, yeah.
And as you mentioned, Drama's been extremely fucking busy,
working hard.
There hasn't been a week for like the last like 4 or 5 episodes that we haven't mentioned his name.
Exactly,
and
man,
we mentioned that nigga twice today, yeah. Like with the DJ GQ, and now it is like, mm-hmm. Yeah. And last week it was the Snoop, and he was also a part of the Jeezy project. You know, right. Shout out to Drama.
Oh no, yeah, absolutely though. But y'all go ahead and check out that West Side Gun 10. All right, moving on. Another favorite of mine that I really enjoyed, and Nicki was just talking about him not too long ago either. And that was just so crazy how, since she was talking about him, like, he instantly dropped the project. And the project, I can't even lie, like, it was just you got that Professor X and Jean Grey in you.
Oh, absolutely. Was, yeah.
No, for real. But Smino, Love for Rent. And I can't front. Love the project from beginning to end. The intro was smooth. Not only that, though, I love the way he put a spin on No L's and how he took the Missy Elliott knock knock joint and put his own twist on that. Like, that was amazing. And then right after that, you go into 90 Proof with Cole. Like, I just felt like, honestly, this album was set up amazing. Like, from track to track to track, where you're going from old ass Kendrick, Euphoria, Blue Billy, another one of my favorites, Matinee.
More than a minute. That was my shit with Lucky Day.
That was dope. Defibrillator, Garden Lady. Mm-hmm. Settle Down, another one of my favorites with Raven, Lene. And then right after that, Pudgy with Lil Uzi Vert. That was fire.
Yes.
That was fire.
Yes, and Smino has that ability to kind of give you more of like that Brent Faiyaz, where he has the harmonizing, but he's still, you know, spitting and talking the shit. So, like, I really enjoyed him. Like, he's been on my radar for a few years now, but I'm just ultimately, as much work as he does with the Dreamville camp, I'm just surprised that he's not on Dreamville.
Right.
But, you know, he's on Motown, but still, you know, regardless, they find a way to make all this happen and give us this amazing video, amazing music. I saw that the J. Cole, the 90 Proof video dropped today.
Yeah.
So you guys haven't had the opportunity to definitely go ahead and check that out. But like I said, one of my personal favorites is Mode in a Minute, and I like Defibrillator a lot. But the entire project is really one of those things that you can throw on shuffle and just really go, you know, go on about your business, you know.
This morning, yeah, you right. The More Than a Minute was amazing. Mama decent. We go back like hairline patient. Trish red eyes at the airline patient. Me at the gate, cause I'm letting you know me came straight from the stool, got deadlines. And that was your flatline. Treating girls from my past like past.
I want to get to this one part. We can't cut it before that.
I got you. She doing alcohol, the alcohol, called the attitude. Alcohol, got it on repeat. Girl, you're all alcohol, off the alcohol. She on alchemy, coming after me.
That's that winter music right here. Right. You know, we be getting that summer music, but that's that summer music.
Right.
That's that hoodie season.
Right.
For sure.
And then going back to like what I said, I loved how he. How he did a spin on this was just amazing.
That shit got me like, that's like, you know, sorry once everything kind of died down, but that shit's definitely like something hit Houston in the slab. Like,
yeah, it is. Like,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell
yeah.
Yeah. Man, we gonna have a tough time come next month these albums, man.
Yeah, because you know what though, and it's real funny because men lie, women lie, but numbers don't, right? So I got this thing. I don't know if Tidal does the same thing for you, but I have this thing with Apple Music where it gives me the option to do my replay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I already know what my fucking top five is for this year, just on the sense of, like, what is actually account, you know, what they counted, how many times I played. And, you know, I'll wait. But it's so funny because I already kind of knew it. I'm like, this one is album of the year to me. And I was like, damn, they like neck and neck, these two albums. Mm-hmm. But they let me know which one I rock with more. And it also broke down how many artists, how many hours I was playing a specific artist. So I hope that title does a wrap up for you. So just base it off of that rather than, you know, our personal preference. Because it's like, you know, hey, if you like it so much, it should have been in rotation.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair. That's fair. That's fair though. But you guys highly recommend to check out that Smino. Like, for real, you won't be disappointed at all. All right. Before we get into our you don't know, now you know. Last but not least, Duke Deuce, Memphis Massacre, Volume 3. And I'm not gonna lie, I enjoy the hell out of this though because it's giving you Memphis always been on the scene though, but we never appreciated where it's like now Memphis is actually really getting that appreciation for what it is and the sound behind Memphis though. And okay. And Duke Deuce just making it, he is making it known that hey, out here in Memphis, this is what we do, from the sound to the car culture and even the dance style. Like, you've been seeing the Memphis juking everywhere on social media, so it's crazy. So this project had 13 tracks, 36 minutes, whereas from Deucifer, Mr. Memphis Massacre, Anna, What You Wept by DJ Paul Wall, one of my favorites, Buck the System, I actually enjoyed that, I had that on repeat for a minute, God God, Riverside, Respect, Black Ops, All That, BHZ 2.0, What's My Name, and Nobody Needs Nobody though. But I'm loving that way he's
doing. The representation, right?
Yeah, the representation, and not only that though, too. Shout out to you know, Quality Control. They doing their thing with this guy right here. They really pushing him, and I love it. I love it. A lot. We're to the point. Like I said, Buck the System. Like, you could really hear that Memphis sound in there. Like, man.
Riding in the truck, y'all tucked in my nuts. Peace in the back, alcohol in my gut. Young buck, keep a stuck, gotta catch a nut. Left hand grip of her, right thumb in the butt.
And I do be liking his ad-libs, too. He has some catchy ad-libs.
We fuck out of luck, but I'm MMM, so you know I'm gonna fuck. Flying like a birdfish tail when I swerve. Off-road wheels give a fuck by the curve.
Oh yeah, man. But
yeah, this was actually my introduction to Duke Deuce, and like you said, I love their Memphis representation. And he had a couple tracks where, you know, it was I can't remember exactly the girl that was featured on there, but it was really giving me 3-6 Mafia Tedder Club type of vibes for sure.
And you could definitely hear that influence.
I could definitely hear the influence, and you know, get all of that Memphis residue all over the tracks. And like you said, this is something that's coming up right now, and they're really staying true to that sound. So I can appreciate that.
Oh no, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Though, so if you guys haven't peeped that, go ahead and peep that Duke Deuce Memphis Massacre 3. All right, before we get in Classic Corner, you know it's always about that time when we highlight an artist that you never heard of or never known from.
Or reacquaint you, you know, with those. You know, yeah, like, if you don't know, now you know.
And if you don't know,
this installment goes to none other, our guy, Trev Deshawn. If you guys aren't familiar with Trev is coming out of South Central Los Angeles, and he recently dropped a single, Prize Pick, but Trev has actually been at it and, you know, taking his music serious since 2014. He has been, you know, his last project was actually dropped in 2020, which was Consistency. Prior to that, he has Stress In that had a couple tracks on there, one featuring Casey Veggies. And you know, I just really like how smooth he is. This last track, you know, we could kind of get a little bit of that Prize Pick.
I enjoyed it, honestly. I'm not even gonna lie to you.
I was fucking baby mama cousins on a friend couch. You only know what she telling you, nigga. What she telling you, nigga. Two-a-piece, money, paddock, please. Pray for me.
These sorry ass niggas never bother me. All these problems in my water I don't really need. All these tats up on my arm just seem like pain to me. If they look you in your eye, yeah, that's a rare receipt. Niggas talk behind your back, yeah, that's
a kind of give me more of that, that background, shit, you know, right. that Timberland type of influence. Oh, no, that love to love you, and I like how he's riding a beat. He's really surfing on it. So this was actually, you know, like I said, if you don't know, now you know. We're looking at Trev Deshawn coming out of South Central Los Angeles, and the track we just played for you is called Prize Pick. So it's available on all your streaming platforms, and definitely go give our guy a listen.
Absolutely, and you won't be stirred wrong at all, man. This man has been putting in a lot of groundwork, especially like you know. Out there in the West, y'all. So, I mean, and like what I said, I definitely enjoyed this, enjoyed the track and everything. And I just can't wait to see what else this man has in store for us, man. So, I mean, I'm excited. Very, very excited. All right, it's about that time.
And now for my next number, I'd like to return to the classic.
All right. January 1st, 1995.
Mac 10, you know your rule hip-hoppin'. Ice Cube, you know your rule hip-hoppin'. Mac 10, you know your rule hip-hoppin'. Wait a minute.
That ain't had a West Coast ride, nigga. The self-titled debut. Mac 10. You know what I'm saying? Man, where do we begin? Starting off with the lead single, Four Live.
Mac 10, nutty as they come, leave them face down. And none from the waist down. It's a Sunday, a gun day, rolling down a one.
Man. Come on now.
Oh, I love it.
On them things, baby. Love them.
Them deep. And ain't talking about much, you bitch.
On them things. And we go from that to one of my favorites.
Hey, check it out. I'm man. And that's my nigga Mac 10 over there.
Love the sample now on this.
Gotta be cool,
how he nigga, did the flip on the Patrice Russian. You remind me? Man.
That's right. The fuck you smiling at?
Jeez.
It's that nigga, West Side swinging. He don't bring it like I'm banging, slanging, khaki singing. Took the strip and I'm stripping. It got busted, straight tripping. It never thought Mac 10 would be the new nigga ripping shit. Real G style on the funky freestyle. Solo flow show with my bitch and my Lolo. Get my floss on as I slide my locs on. Hit the corner, bitch, hold on. Data is what I roll on. So watch your steps.
Man, Mac 10, the self debut album. You know? Heard him around, like, you know, from the last project on Ice Cube's, on his joint, What Can I Do from, what's the name of that album? I'm trying to think the name of that album. Oh, yeah, there it is, Lethal Injection. So, yeah, heard him a few tracks on Lethal Injections. You know, this album peaked at number 33 on the Billboard 200 and it went gold. You know, and the song Four Live was used in the film Night Ice Cube, starting with Jennifer Lopez. Anaconda has its certification sold 500,000 copies though. But I mean, just this album was just a introduction of Mac 10 and just, you know, where he was coming from and everything. And this album bring a lot of memories back as a kid, because this is an album, I ain't even gonna lie, like, I got my ass whooped. Because every time, like, when my dad played this album, or, like, when he would park the car, I would grab the keys, go inside the Maximum that he had, I'll take the CD out and bring it in the house and listen to it. And then he'll go in the car looking for his CD, bust in the room, which one of you motherfuckers took my CD? I'll just be in the bed, cheat over the cover. Steven, get your ass out here. I did. And then got my ass whooped. But I mean, the CD just alone was just dope, where it had Mac 10 on the front and then had the fingerprint on there, where it just had that that silver lining on there. And just not only that, though, this album was amazing. And then just not only that, like, as retrospect, as you get older, we know Cube and Common had the beef, though, but Mac 10 was loyal to Cube. He went at Common on this joint with Cube. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's how we got the whole retaliation disc on this album from Common's I Used to Love Her. And then that's when you get to Niggas Dog Scrapping. And, you know, Mac went in and Cube went in. Mm-hmm. And, like, and this album, man, I mean, you could go down from the tracks, 10 Million Ways, Mosey Wosey, HOE Killer. I mean, I just love this album. Like,
oh, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. You know, first and foremost, great pick.
Man, thank you.
Like
thank
you said, it definitely takes us back to a certain time. I remember this video being just back to back to back to back to back requested on the box, especially when he's like, Mac 10 to the rescue. And he's hopping out of that court, right, out of that courtroom window and everything. And it's like, I could dance underwater and not get wet.
It's that, you know, nigga, so killing
this
raps.
Definitely takes me back to a time. And like you said, Mac 10 was actually one of the first that I can remember that started really putting on for Inglewood. Everybody was, you know, like, you got LA, and right, if you're familiar with the area and everything, like, you know, just for people, they'll go ahead and just group everything under LA,
right,
but you got Compton, you got Carson, you got Long Beach, you got Inglewood, and it's very important that you're very specific on these, on those areas. So one thing about Mac 10 is that, like he said, putting Inglewood on the map. And one of the things that I really appreciated about him, and it's so wild, is just his influence, and, you know, even down to, like, the West Coast connection, like, with him, Dub C, and Ice Cube, and everything, and just hearing that, having, like, my daddy, he had that in the car on a tape, and that motherfucker, like, I would have thought he would have broke that damn tape in that Saturn. But anywho, like, you know, for this Mac 10, like you said, the debut project, you know, it's just so much got pulled out on there. And Mac 10, you know, a lot of the things, a lot of people don't really give him credit, is just how much of an influence he had on Cash Money Records. Another great aspect, and, you know, something that was kind of new and surfaced, is that Snoop was just mentioning how he was going to make Mac 10 was actually going to fund him, pay him $1 million to make the Fuck Death Row.
Yeah.
And how Master P came in, and, you know, he did the song with Mystical, and how Master P came in just in the nick of time and just really kind of gave him more of that level-headed perception of, like, hey, man, that's the worst thing that you could possibly do. But Mac 10 was with all the shit that just said.
Yeah.
Like,
he was with all the smoke.
He didn't hold it back, and even down to, you know, the work with CJ Mack and Thicker Than Water and just all of
Hood
that
classic.
Like, I swear, like, we don't get enough of that, because when he went down there, like he said, like, I remember the day that they had announced it and they had all make their 106 and Park appearance, and how he was just really down there in he was down south, you know, with Cash Money and everything. He turned all of them out. Like, I'm not going to say that, you know, there wasn't no bloods down there before that, but I just remember Mac 10 going out there and just really giving more of the culture, you know, like, that kind of deal.
Yeah.
And then also his pen game on all of the writing he was down there doing as well. So Mac 10 is definitely a West Coast legend, West Coast icon. I'm so grateful that we were able to go on ahead and, you know, crack open this classic and just, you know, for you to go on ahead and express your personal gratitude, but for me too to be able to tag on and, you know, add on to that one as well on what this album means to me.
Oh, man, thank you. All right, man, it's about that time. Coming to a close, man. I enjoyed every bit of this. You already know, man. I enjoy doing this with you. Despite the Taco Bell Del Taco difference.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's always, but like I said, There's always that great thing, a great blend here. You know, you're going to be able to get great blend. For the most part, it's going to be some shit, you know, and I feel like we call out the fuck shit together. But at the same time, I like the amount of representation here just simply because, hell, you know, Taco Bell wouldn't, Del Taco wouldn't still be open if it wasn't, you know, people that liked it more than Taco Bell. So I'm happy that those people can find that that solace in you, you know? Because I can't give it to them.
Oh, man.
Don't get me wrong. I fuck with Del Taco from time to time, especially, man, you know, if they don't fuck with the chili cheese fries and all that kind of deal. I was just about to say that.
The chili cheese fries,
but,
be hitting.
You know, nah, Taco Bell.
Oh, man. All right, but like what I said, I enjoy this. And from our listeners to our day ones, we appreciate y'all, you know. Go ahead and, you know, tell a friend that tells a friend that tells another friend. You know what I'm saying about the show? You know, on our audio platforms, we are on Apple, SoundCloud, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Podbay, Podbean. You know, rate, subscribe, leave a comment. And also, too, subscribe to our YouTube, you know what I'm saying, at Lace Rhymes, where, you know, we have all our YouTube's airing up so you can watch new episodes.
Yes, and Steve is getting real nice episodes. And shifty with the shorts. Also, check out the YouTube shorts.
Yes.
Make sure you tap in with our TikToks, Instagram, TikTok, the Reels. All of them, you know, all social media platforms. We're there. And then, you know, for all of our listeners as well, thank you guys for tapping in weekly on Apple Music, Spotify, you know, just iHeartRadio, Steve said. And we really appreciate each and every last one of you, because this, you know, it can't continue without your contributions, and we wouldn't be here if you guys weren't listening. So,
absolutely. Thank you. But until then, you know, this is your boy Skeeter Steve
and Nikki B.
Lace Rhymes, we out. Boop, boop.